Good evening, everybody. Should have cleared my throat a little better before we started this show, but hey, you know, we do what we got to do here in grassroots independent anti-capitalist media. Thanks for joining us tonight. My name is Brian Powers. This is NJRR Live. And every week at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night, we look around the world of activism and we try to highlight some grassroots work. We do look at politics and what's going on. And, you know, we just have to comment on that stuff, although we hate it. You know, it's like I kind of write like it's akin to watching a train wreck. Like I can't look away from what our government is doing. But I do try to balance that out with the very, very positive work and the amazing work that so many of my comrades do out there every day. And so thanks for joining us here at NJRR Live on the Revolution Radio Network, which, of course, includes the Ida Vox report. I had a great interview, a great chance to sit in on an interview with Daryl Lamont Jenkins, of course, the host of the show, Christian Perez, Leah, and the rest of the crew get together. That happens on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. So remember, 8 p.m. Tuesdays and Wednesdays. You make sure you got your subscribe to our YouTube channel clicked or you know, like our Facebook page, whatever. You know, make sure you get the ding in your pocket, you know, when we go live so you can tune in and see what's going on. The hope is that we continue to connect activists and activist causes across the social justice spectrum. And we've been able to do that. We started out in New Jersey, but now I'm kind of introducing a lot of my comrades from New Jersey to the nation and kind of meeting the nation as a grassroots media network. We're going to do that a little bit tonight, talking to a few workers who are not getting paid by some douchebag in New Jersey. And we're going to discuss why they're not getting paid and what's going on. We're going to speak to Maya Arnoff and hopefully one of the workers as well, who's been getting stiffed by this guy, Dr. Philip McGoy. And their organization is called, I believe the organization name is Justice for Day Laborers, but we'll talk more to Maya about that in just a second. But I do have to take one quick second before we start bringing in the comrades is I got to let everybody know I did a promo today and I said, you know, we got zucked. One thing that happened directly after those January 6th attacks on the Capitol was social media got taken down. And I could see, you know, those of you that manage pages or do whatever out there, you know, you could see your statistics and my statistics just plummeted and they've not gone back up. And another thing I noticed is, you know, as I was prepping for a couple of shows in the last, you know, few weeks, I used to have a very easy time that if I didn't have a comrade give me a call that week or somebody say, hey, Brian, you know, can you plug my thing this week? You know, if I didn't, I was dry. I would just flip on my Facebook feed and I would scroll down and I would look for a blog or something that was, you know, in our wheelhouse and, you know, send off an email invite. And it usually only took me a couple of tries, maybe one or two tries to land an interview and get the show did for that week. I can't do that anymore. My feed is filled with fucking pictures of cake and ice cream and kids' parties, which is wonderful if that's what you're into. I don't give a fuck. I'm on Facebook to look at politics, quite frankly. My political life is on social media. And so the impact on, you know, the censorship thing has already directly impacted Revolution Radio and many others like the Ida Vox Report, One People's Project, you know, any of these other groups out there that are advocating for peace and social justice, but are getting shut down by the same, you know, people that are shutting down right-wing racist groups. We're not the same. Anti-fascist is not fascist. It's the opposite of. And this station and Revolution Radio has been extraordinarily responsible in talking about vaccinations. But because we've talked about vaccinations, we're hitting on that algorithm that takes us out of, you know, that viewing audience, we're not getting as many news feeds. It's bad. But I told you I got a solution. I promise you I got a solution. I got a solution, right? Of course. You're my solution. My audience, my comrades, my editorial board, my donors, my sponsors, everybody that hops in to Revolution Radio, who's watching this right now, who's enjoyed, who's organized with us, who's enjoyed a program, who's listened to a podcast, whatever. You are the solution because when I put this out to my editorial board and I asked people, hey, listen, can you make sure if you're on Facebook, make sure you tell your friends to like the page. Go spend just a couple of minutes clicking and tapping on a couple hundred friends for me, whatever you got. You know, I have a lot of Facebook friends. They did that. And I immediately saw the growth and I saw the numbers come back up. So, you know, I really do. And I want you to know this because I don't want to just be selfish with this information, but I want my comrades to know that if you're going through this with me, because it's serious when you're trying to create media for the revolutionary left and, you know, 75% of your traffic comes from Facebook and all of a sudden, you know, you're not showing up on feeds anymore. It's a serious hit to independent media, to voices that are not CNN or Fox News or any of this bullshit that you see in cable news. And they're trying to position themselves as the grownups in the room so that they can stay on these social media feeds and dominate even more of the space in what is already a fucked up media world. So we don't need to do that. I want to jump into my first interview here because I've already gone a little bit over my time. But I do want to stress the importance of what you can do by sharing, subscribing to our YouTube channel, liking, and of course, donating. We have an editorial board. It's $25 a month. You get to be a part of making the shows. It's been fired up for 2 months now. And most of what you see on this network is borne by our comrades on that editorial board at this point. So appreciate their support. So please, please, please support independent media. I am not going to make them wait any longer because I know they have important business to get to. Maya Arnoff and Elias Rohop are with us tonight. Hello, comrades. It is very nice to meet you on such short notice. We got this interview together today. But I've been following some of what's going on. I've been seeing you on my Instagram feed primarily, but also on Twitter and some of the other social medias about a douchebag that owes my new friend here, Elias, some money. I know we may need some translation help, Maya. So I'll just, you know, if Elias needs a little help, I appreciate it. But let's start from the beginning. What were you hired to do? What did you do? And why isn't this guy paying you for it?
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for having us. I'm going to be doing my best to translate. I'm actually the only member of Unidad Latina en Acción, our organization, that doesn't speak fluent Spanish. So my translations will be unprofessional. Pero, Elias, vamos a discutir cómo esta campaña empezó. And I'm going to go into the details of initially how the campaign started. And then Elias is going to talk more generally about the strategy of the campaign, workers empowerment, and what he can tell other workers in his position. So Elias and two other workers were hired by Dr. Magdi Philip to do some renovations on an apartment complex he owns this past fall. And, you know, they had a lot of their agreement in writing. But unfortunately, Dr. Philip is neglecting to pay the remaining $1,700 promised for the work. So Elias is a member of Unidad Latina en Acción. We're a grassroots organization for workers and immigrant rights. And what we've done is we've tried to negotiate with Dr. Philip, tried calling him up, politely asking him, hey, can we, you know, sit down, have a conversation, come to some kind of agreement to pay what you owe these workers. That didn't work. You know, we've written letters, we've called, and now have resorted to, you know, filing a complaint with the Department of Labor and engaging in direct actions outside his office and his home to try and call attention to the issue and persuade him to, you know, really hear what the workers have to say. And Elias, solo estoy describiendo en general que ha pasado. ¿Quieres hablar acerca de su experiencia de la campaña?
Sí, buenas noches. Me llamo Elías Rojo. A través de la campaña hemos tratado de presionar al doctor, ¿verdad? Y no solo de presionarlo, sino dejar como un legado y que a través no solo ese doctor se dé cuenta de que no es bueno lo que está haciendo, sino que otros vecinos o que otras personas que están acostumbradas a hacer lo mismo, que dejen de hacer lo mismo, ¿va? Para erradicar esa costumbre que ellos tienen.
So he's saying that he's a member of Unidad Latina en Acción, and he's going to be, and he got involved with the campaign to pressure his former employer to pay what he owes, and he wants to tell any other workers out there in a similar experience that this isn't right, they can't be exploited. and they do have a right to stand up for themselves under the law and in their communities. And if that translation wasn't completely accurate, I know, again, it's because I'm not a fluent speaker, so I can only give my, you know, general impression. And maybe next time another member will be able to make it who can make a fluent translation.
No, I appreciate it. And I think, you know, we've got the kind of audience that will look into what's going on and hopefully follow the links and the things that we put in these chats to, you know, follow up and support you. Because, you know, I come from a union labor background, and I know that the system tends to not really work for people who don't get paid by bosses. It usually works if something the boss needs, but quite well, but you know, when you're advocating for a worker, you know, in general, it'll take you a couple of years at least. Have you filed charges with Department of Labor? Have you gone through legal channels with attorneys? You know, it seems like you've really escalated tactics. Like you said, you tried giving a guy a call, right? Like any reasonable person would. You are now parading down his street with a giant inflatable rat. You know, there's a reason why, and I think people have to understand there's a reason. You didn't just wake up that morning, blow up the rat, and go to this guy's house, right? There's been frustration. How about the government? I mean, is New Jersey Department of Labor helping out, or?
So, yeah, absolutely. Elias, él solamente dejó que el sistema es mejor por los empleadores que el sistema es por los trabajadores y el sistema no protegernos. Y él tiene un experiencia con los sindicatos. Yeah, we definitely did not want to be out in Freehold. The workers live in Trenton. I live nearby. It's almost an hour for us. We did not want to be out there every week, Saturday, early mornings, making this guy listen to what we have to say. But this $1,700 is nothing for Dr. Phillip. I mean, he's in a multimillion dollar house. He owns other properties. He's a successful dentist. He's got the money. He's got the money, and he just doesn't want to pay out of pride or because he thinks he's better than the workers. I don't know. But we definitely want to be out there. So we definitely tried to be nice and polite first. And we are pursuing legal channels, but as you said, it's very slow. So first we filed a complaint with the Department of Labor. But more recently, we've actually gotten a pro bono lawyer, which is why Elias is speaking more generally to the case and I'm giving more specifics. And that lawyer is going to be guiding our approach through the government and the law from here on out, which is something if you're a worker who thinks that you're experiencing wage theft or you're not being paid what you owe or mistreatment at work, it's really great to reach out to your community organizations and see if those community organizations can support you outside the system while simultaneously hooking you up with a lawyer who can guide you on how to advocate for yourself within the system, because there's a lot of different categories for workers. The processes can be complicated as to what road you go down. So you really want a lawyer to help guide those processes. But if you can't find one, or at the same time as you have a lawyer, it's great to find a community organization like Unidad Latina to support you, or Casa Freehold has also been very supportive of this campaign. And you can organize with them and, you know, speak out about what your experience is and empower other people in your community to speak out about their experiences. Elias, no sé si quieren discutir la importancia de poder por los trabajadores y la importancia de organizar para organizar. Lo siento, mi gramática es horrible, pero... Elias? I think he's frozen.
Oh, he may be frozen. Oh, there he goes. Oh.
Sí, yo creo que es muy importante.
Maybe getting a little connection issue there. So what I do in this
situation. Yo creo que es muy importante organizarlo, ¿verdad? Entonces, a muchas personas, a todos los jornaleros les pasa a todos.
Are we finished with that? Was it a brief statement or is he cut off again?
I think he's cut off again. Okay. Elias, again. No podemos oírte porque Su conexión no es no está funcionando. Well, while we wait for him, if you don't mind, could I plug some action steps for your listeners?
That'll work. You know what? You beat me to it, sister.
So I'm sorry.
No problem. So, yeah, like I said, so we do want to remind. Oh, there he is, right back there. Elias, since we're running short on time, comrade, and you're having a little bit of connection issues, I do hope you can understand that we can't hear you. So we're just gonna wrap it up. I know that Maya and you well, I have another meeting to get to. So, but before we go, as always, we do want to remind our audience that you need to support these kinds of causes in whatever way you can, and usually that means by donating money. And I know that's what most people don't have these days. But Joe Biden owes us all $2,000, and we're going to get those checks right away. So, you know, dig deep, all right? Dig deep for this one. So I know you're going to ask for money. Please feel free to let people know how they can give to your organization. But also, you know, look, share, spread word. I talked a little bit about that stuff. Mary, Maya, please do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can contribute to Unidad Latina's fund for direct relief for day laborers on the website, Unidad Latina en Acción, New Jersey. All the money goes directly to economic relief for day laborers and domestic workers who haven't been included due to their immigration status and federal relief. But actually, for this campaign, the main action item is not giving money, but it's showing up in other ways. So we do have an action tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. in Freehold outside Dr. Phillips' office. Again, just asking him to listen to what the workers have to say and to negotiate with us, to really just have a conversation. And you can find details for that action or ways to support remotely if you go to our Instagram, Unidad Latina en Acción, New Jersey. You can also find us on Facebook. So if you search those types of things on Instagram and Facebook, you can find us. And then you can see regular updates about both in-person and virtual actions that we're taking to pressure Dr. Phillip. And when there's something to report on the legal end, we'll also report that. Wouldn't that be great? But, you know, I think the main thing, and I don't mean to speak for Elias because, but he had to go, I think he lost connection. Just to say the most important thing about the campaign is that this is coming from, for, and by workers. So I'm the only member of Unidad Latina Acción. I'm a volunteer who's not a day laborer, domestic worker, or was not one in the past. And so what's really important is workers coming together to build that power, build solidarity, and send a message not only to Dr. Phillip, but to any other employees and any other workers that this kind of exploitation isn't acceptable. And, you know, workers have power and they're standing up, and this isn't going to stand, not today, not tomorrow, not ever.
Yeah. Thank you very much again for joining us, and I really do appreciate it. I'm going to let you guys get back to your very important work in the grassroots, but, you know, keep in touch and make sure you update us and send us some messages. I know you got somebody Instagramming pretty on the regular over there, so I appreciate it.
I'm a grandma with technology, but...
we appreciate the younger generation here at RevRad too. So I appreciate that. So I'll keep up on it and I'll try to update our audience. And when they get their money, you know, hopefully we'll celebrate for you. So we hope this Dr. Phillip Magdy, what town was he in again? And where does he practice dentistry?
This is Freehold, New Jersey.
Freehold, New Jersey. If you have an appointment with Dr. Magdy, you know, cancel it. All right. Thanks a lot, comrade. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having us, Brian. Have a good night.
All right. So now we're going to do a quick editorial board plug, of course, right? Editorial board for Revolution Radio. I almost said it. I'm getting out of the habit now. But in just a second, we're going to pull up Pastor Corey Teague. I see him in the background there. He can turn his camera on because he's been coming on live and update us on what he's been doing in his hometown in northern New Jersey. He's a really involved pastor. He's a great dude, and he's been advocating for his community in a lot of different ways, as a school board member, as a pastor, as an activist, you know, as a guy that gets around town and works with the people. I mean, I knew Corey when, you know, he was filming cops and putting it out there that the cops were harassing people. So, you know, we can't wait to bring him in the studio, but all these Great things are brought to you by our editorial board. Our editorial board meets like once a month, and we kick around ideas, and people say, hey, what's going on with Justice for Jimmy? You haven't talked about it in a while. And it's not, you know, Corey's busy and he's been the main point of contact. So let me reach out to him and get you an update. Boom, show idea, boom, show, right? So we want you to hopefully come to these meetings and give us more, bigger, better ideas on how we can grow revolutionary and independent media. That's what this is all about. So we are asking you to make a contribution, $25 a month. And of course that goes to our staff. It helps us create content. We got better servers running now. We're streaming better now. It's really exciting. But we definitely need to do more. So if you could contribute, check us out on the website. The link is up there. We've got our social media staffer back there doing her thing, making sure that the links go up. Leah is back there doing it. So, you know, support her, kick in, join the editorial board. Make a contribution, www.nj, that's like new journalism, revolutionradio.com. One more time, www.njrevolutionradio.com. Go there, join the editorial board, or make a contribution today. All right. So now I'm going to bring in Corey, who I'm not sure if maybe yes. There you go. That's yeah, it. All right, so you can't.
Here, no. Okay. I got to kind of keep the camera off because they don't want to be filmed. So.
Oh, okay. So who are you? Have some comrades with you today?
Yeah, but they, you know, some they're just really getting into you know, this community activist work in terms of the county, and they're still a little nervous about, you know, coming forward just yet. You know, but I have a decent team. But it could be scary. I know how their tactics are, so I understand why they're nervous.
Well, that's totally up to you guys, and we respect it here at Revolution Radio as well. I know that you haven't been shy, and you put yourself out there quite a bit. And you know the pain of putting your face on the cause. It does. It takes a toll, and I appreciate that. And you know, keeping people safe is a good priority for any leader. So I know what you're doing, man. So we've known each other for a while, Corey, but we haven't talked in a while because you're such a friggin' busy dude. Right. You know, I don't know if you know, but we're national now. This ain't just like a little New Jersey thing, man. Like, we're really out there. We got an audience from coast to coast. And I feel like I'm introducing, you know, the comrades that brought us here to this point to the wider world. So, you know, I thank you for being a part of what was New Jersey Revolution Radio, but is now Revolution Radio. Thanks for coming back. But let's take a minute to let people know who Pastor Corey Teague is and, you know, give us an idea of your history, because you've done so much. I don't want to highlight what I know about, because that's like the tip of the iceberg, man.
Indeed. Well, it's certainly an honor to be back. You know, I was around when, you know, New Jersey Revolution Radio was in its, well, I guess you could say infancy stages, where it was just kind of ramping up its.
Oh, we were a baby, little baby. Yeah, baby, yep.
And you guys came to Patterson. That's how we met. You guys actually came to Patterson when you actually had people in Patterson who didn't want to come to Patterson for the rallies. And you guys came up from, is it South Jersey, or it's not that far down?
At that time, I was living in Woodbridge, but we even had, like, I mean, people came in from all over, from, you know, right, who were connected with Rev Rat. We organized with you guys, and I was proud to be a part of it. I still am proud to be a part of it, man.
Absolutely. Ed Big
is still on the show. We never forget. We never forget.
Absolutely. So, yeah, but I've been actually, you know, an activist in Patterson for maybe 20 years, maybe 21 years, you know, honestly. And I've always had a heart for the downtrodden and those who, you know, those who get a raw deal, you know, to put it bluntly. And I've always been the guy to speak up for them, you know. And the latest battle that we're facing now is with the county jail. And there's some movement. You know, there's actually faster movement in this particular situation than it was in Jameek's case. So the county sheriff's department, the union, one of the union reps reached out to me today, and there's been some movement. Some progressive movement in terms of making sure they have, you know, what they need in their cell. You know what I'm saying? Oftentimes we forget about people who are locked away, you know, and I think we got to make sure that we treat humanity, all humanity, you know, humanly, you know, that's my biggest thing.
We have a lot of work to do in that regard. And, yes. And I'm not, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, definitely, but, you know, in particular, what, you know, your experiences with the police and why I know you're the real deal is because before you ran for school board, before you were, I mean, I know you've been politically involved, but before you were, had some of these positions, you were filming police. You were on your streams and saying, listen, look at what these cops are doing. They're beating people up. They're criminals. Yeah. They're acting like you're straight up calling the cops in your town that you have to live in and walk the streets every day in a town where, you know, you can look up his hometown of Paterson, New Jersey.
That's right.
You know, look, it is what it is, man. It's not a game. And you were taking those risks.
That's right.
Do you find now today that you have, you know, more political influence, a little bit more stature, you know, as an elected member, you get that.
Yes.
Are you getting along better with the police? Are you able to influence them better? Have you changed a little bit because you're now on the inside, or are you still going head to head with the pigs?
I get, you know, people pulling my coattail a lot still because, you know, I haven't known to just, you know, get down in the meetings and, you know, but I will say as different from before, if I post something now, I do get a phone call. How can we straighten it out? And where in the past, it wasn't like that.
Right, right.
Now, when I bring attention to something, I usually get a phone call. Somebody see me in the street, they pull over, try to see if there's a way they could work it out. Because, you know, my position has gotten a lot larger in terms of the community aspect. Because I want folks to understand, I ran as a Green Party candidate in November 2019. And I didn't have much money. I didn't have much money. These folks were running with $10,000, $20,000, $25,000, you know, war chests for a school board, for a volunteer position. And I just ran with the people. That was it. I ran with the Green Party. Mm-hmm. And we were the top vote getter. Let me say that too. Out ones from the quote unquote major parties, you know. And that's something that should be noted, that the people have the power, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you did run with the Green Party, you know, prominent. Yeah. I mean, and you're a guy, and I think we talked, and you're one of the people, and not the only person that's ever told me this, is that I don't really care about the party so much as I need the support and I want to work with good people. You know, I just listen, if you're going to support me and I'm doing good work, then I need that support. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't hang out with the Green Party as much as I used to, but that's a whole nother story. But your story was really great because, you know, I honestly felt like it was a privilege to have you attach yourself to the party and it seems vice versa. You know what I'm saying? Like one of the things when looking at the Green Party on a national level, I think, you know, they just need to do more of that. People from the community coming out and saying, listen, I want to run with you guys. And I've already got this community support and I'm accepted. But that's on the party to prove to more community activists that they're, right, you know, we're the party worth running with. And it was an interesting time, man. And I really liked being a little involved with your campaign. We came up to the fundraiser and all that. And you're running again, right? I think, you know, before we talk about a little bit of your activist work, I'll let you plug your campaign, which we rarely do here on Revolution.
Right? Okay.
But, cool. Because you're such a great dude, man. I mean, you're running again for school board, man, or what are you trying to do now?
Yeah, I'm actually running for city council at large.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
Yep. So they're a little deeper now, you know.
They're pissed.
Yep.
You're not standing your lane, man.
Yeah. we're moving in. You know,
at large position. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the city council. Now, on Paterson City Council, it's a Faulkner Act town. City council member.
Yes.
Okay. So 9 city council members, and if you want to know how it works, you look at the Faulkner Act. Everybody figured that out.
Right.
And you're up for re-election. Are you running as a Democrat, as a Green, as an Independent? Have you picked a party? Are you going with an affiliation?
I haven't picked a party, but most likely it'll be Independent because people are tired of both parties at this point. You know, I walked up to people not recently who just overheard them. They were saying this. All the parties, you know, and the big parties, the two major parties that everyone claims is the major parties. They're tired of both of them. So,
yeah,
I want to run because if you run under a certain umbrella in either one of those two parties, they'll feel like you owe them something. you know, the party bosses, those two major, you know. And I've had Democrats, I've had Republicans come to me and try to get me either on either or. And I really told them I want to be able to be the voice for people that are not are undecided on which party they want to go with, you know. And so,
yeah,
either say, and then to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind going green again, pushing green or pushing independent. You know, if you're a Green Party, and you have a lot of people who vote green, but they're not registered. They're not really registered green. I've seen people do that. And they vote independently. They want to vote for the write-in candidate because they don't like any of the other options, you know. So we're trying to change that so they don't have to voting for write-in candidates. We have candidates that you can rely on, you know.
There's been some electoral reform talk in New Jersey, you know, and like getting these lines and stuff. And for those, for our national audience, a good book to read, it would be The Soprano State. Which I really got to reread it. I think I read it back in the day when it first came out. I've forgotten most of it, but I do remember it having an impact on me as, oh, that can't be real. But yeah, good read. I saw a little more of it in the coming years, and yeah, it's right. Corey, I know you're with some comrades today, and so I want to make sure we get a chance to talk about your current work, which is always the most important for our activists out there. Mm-hmm. So. What are you into today? I know you're sitting with some people that have some serious issues.
Yes.
What's going on over there in Patterson?
Today we are still in our mission of making sure that the inmates at Passaic County Jail on Marshall Street are receiving proper care, you know, in the midst of this pandemic. There were a lot of issues that I was not made aware of until recently. And when I spoke to several family members, and they made me aware, and there's still people inboxing me. It was unbelievable, the situation that's happening in the county. I mean, the union rep, you know, will, you know, does tell me that, you know, they're much better than they were in the past, but we need to make sure that the inmates also have what they need to make sure they're okay in there, whether it's the blankets, and make sure that they have enough heat in there, hot water. You know, you got to make sure they at least have the human rights. That's the problem. That's why I keep saying this is really a human rights issue when you deny anybody food or water or, you know what I mean, or the necessities that they need to survive every day. So that's really what we've been pushing. And that's hit a soft spot for a lot of political areas because nobody really wants to delve into, oh, well, they're, you know, they're in the county. And but if you technically look at it, they were charged, but they didn't go to trial yet. They're just sitting there. So, you know, if you really want to be technical, they're just saying they haven't been formally convicted yet. But regardless, there needs to be some more measures in place, you know, for inmates to make sure that they have, even if it's just the basic things, to make sure that they can function. Because, you know, that whole system is corrupt. The whole prison system is corrupt. And like I said, it's hitting us all.
Oh, and
that we have to tackle.
Yeah, it is. I was watching, you know, I happen to flip on the C-SPAN every once in a while. Now that I live in the middle of nowhere, I am forced to learn things from different sources. I've tried to avoid the cable news traps and stuff like that. So I watch C-SPAN, so I kind of get that unfiltered what our government is doing look. Uh-huh. And for those of you that are not following these things, there's a bill going through Congress named after George Floyd. And it involves a lot of police reform. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, Pastor Corey, but it takes one of the biggest things is it takes away the exception for police officers to be sued. I can't remember the legal term off the top of my head. I should have wrote it down, but it takes off this exception that police are special people for some reason, not accountable for their own actions. So,
right.
And sitting there and you're talking about, you know, look, these deprived conditions that human yes. beings are put in sometimes, and most of the time their crime is being poor. Let's face it. That's what it is. Poor or being on drugs, which is just a medical condition and you should bring them to the doctor. Right. You know, but what I saw was a lot of, you know, mostly Republican. It was divided somewhat along party lines, but mostly Republicans defending the current system, advocating for more money going into the current system, praising law enforcement as honorable and noble people who have never done anything wrong, apparently. There may be noted that all of them were white people. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, when you deal with this system, you know, you have to deal with that pushback from the white supremacy that's
of course
there, right?
Of course.
Have you, what do you see now? That's on the macro level.
Right.
You know, I talk about New Jersey, and I say on the micro level, though, you're going to get pushed back. What are you pushing back against? Who are you fighting that you have to convince that human beings need decent meals and some exercise?
Right.
And,
yeah. One of the biggest glaring issues with the prison system in this country is that it's predominantly occupied by black and brown, you know, men. And in many instances, I think that is a driving force for them to say, let's treat them like animals, or let's make sure they don't even have the bare essentials. You know, you wouldn't see this if you had a prison with predominantly upper echelon, you know, Caucasian inmates. You wouldn't see the type of deplorable conditions that you see in places where we are, where most of the people who look like us, you know what I'm saying? And I still say you're black, man. You're more of a black man to me, man. You know, that's what I've always said. No. But I mean, honestly, it's in there. And that's why I fight so hard, because I know if it was the other way around, it wouldn't be that way. It really would not be that way. But because most of us are there, a lot of times that's where they turn that blind eye, where, you know, black people are inherently violent. And a lot of it, like you said, has to do with the conditions that surround them, poverty, lack of employment, lack of education, or low quality education, which, you know, in the urban communities, the fight is on with this virtual learning. And there's so much that's stacked against, you know, communities of color that it should push anybody who's elected official and who's an elected official of color to fight hard to make sure that there's reforms in place to make sure people get fair treatment when they're in there. You know, they've already been judged. One officer who didn't want to be mentioned said, you know, they've already been judged. When they got there, they were already judged. It's not, the officer shouldn't judge them. They should try to be there to make sure while they're there that they have the things that they need. If you're going to punish them if they do something wrong, why don't you make sure they're okay if they're doing right? You know.
It doesn't help this. The bottom line, I mean, just talking from the human standpoint, like there's this, I think our first off, the prison system in this country is just an extension of the slavery system.
Indeed.
It's what we can get away with today to keep people mm-hmm. in bondage based mm-hmm. on the color of their skin. So let's, the reason why they're starving people, the reason why they're not giving you education, the reason why they're not, is because it's white supremacy and it's Jim Crow and it's whatever we can get away with today to maintain it. You know, I got angry there for a second, so I'm sorry.
No, really,
I lost my train of thought. Yeah. But but I mean, you know, that's what I want people to recognize. We're pushing up against. You have some people with you today, and I'm not sure if they want to speak or whether they're just feeding you lines right now. Are they there today to tell a story or to make a point? I do want to open it up to make sure that everybody gets their voice in if they choose.
Yeah, they're okay for right now, but we definitely want to schedule, you know, another one soon, so I can allow them to, you know, I guess they just wanted to hear and see how the flow was. But now that they're comfortable, I'm sure we can reschedule.
Right.
Have them talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I want to thank them for being on today and at least, you know, feeding you some lines and doing what we can to get the cause out there. Who are your allies? So we went over a little bit of who you're up against. Oh, did I hear somebody there?
Yeah, somebody's in there.
Okay,
I think. Yeah, they're pushing.
It's all right. Don't worry. Sure.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Yes, who's that? Who am I speaking with right now?
It looks like. Again?
No. Okay. We just got a little cutting in and out. That's
good. Oh, okay.
So we did talk about a little bit about.
Hello?
Dude, hello.
Okay, you're back. Okay.
Yeah, I'm back, man. I had a little internet issue there. I'm sorry.
Right.
I jumped up on you. So I think I did. I'm not sure if somebody else was trying to jump in there. My internet was a little wacky on me there. Okay. But it's just going to be me and you, right?
Right.
All right, cool. So I'm sorry about that. We were back here on Revolution Radio, and we're talking with Pastor Corey L. Teague out of Paterson, New Jersey, community activist, Northern New Jersey. So justice for Jameek, I know that there we touched on it a little bit, but I do want to make sure we follow up on it. There was a lawsuit filed, and that was kind of the last that I've seen in the media regarding that. Are you still in touch with the family? And where are they at as far as their legal proceedings, I guess, is what I want to know first.
Right now, I know I speak to the mother every now and then, but I don't really know if they're pursuing a lawsuit at this point. I'm not really sure what might have happened within the family. There was a lot of different stories that surfaced, but I didn't want to, put anything out because it could have all been rumors.
Right.
But, I mean, I know sometimes I will share his picture and I will hashtag, justice for Jameek, or we still want, answers. Because we really, as a community, we didn't really get any answers about that. It kind of got, pushed under the rug. And there's times when I'll still bring it up and, people will jump on and they'll say, yeah, we want to know what happened with him. And a lot of people in Paterson and around the world are still frustrated with that still didn't get the attention that it really deserved,
No, it didn't.
Mm-hmm. It's like Emmett Till, same situation. They're still fighting for him, for justice for him all these years later.
Crazy. And a lot of effort went into that. And mm-hmm. essentially what we're looking at is the police getting away with murder.
Yeah.
We were talking on the editorial board a little bit about like, how do we grow as independent media, right? How do we get stories mm-hmm. out there and how do we get this word out to more people? Right. And one of the things was like, if you put a story out there and then people will pick up, other larger outlets will pick up on it. Mm-hmm. And there's been a couple of stories on Revolution Radio that were broken here that I feel like, and Justice for Jameek is probably number one where like, I'm like, why didn't this turn into, I know CNN did like one report, but that's all that really went out there. There wasn't like a sustained media, or establishment push for you, which you really need when you're going up against like a powerful city council, like you were doing and the police department and their union and all that. So people know, there were other police officers arrested and charged on a lot of other things. The last I saw was like 9 police officers indicted on federal charges.
Right.
So I know there was investigations and stuff, but, I'll tell you that I still support you guys and I still support the family and I think wherever the family's at, I think is what's important, that they're at peace with whatever's going on and I'll pray for them. That's all we can do, I guess, sometimes, right?
Absolutely. That's kind of the position I took, because if you dwell on it too much, it'll drive you crazy, because in your heart, you want to know what happened, who's responsible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can't legally, overstep the family. I can't go any further than,
absolutely.
In the back of my mind, like you said, I just pray for the family and pray that somehow something comes up or out that, they can get the justice that they deserve and that Jameek deserves.
Yeah. And before we go, the one aspect of your life that maybe we haven't touched on is one that you put forward quite a bit, and that's your faith. Yes. Do you consider, I don't want to introduce you as such, but do you consider yourself a faith-based activist? Is that a term that you apply to yourself?
Well, I always like to consider myself an activist who likes to provide evidence, Faith is good. We got to have faith, but at some point we need to have some evidence to back up what we believe or what we believe to be right. So as an activist, I try to take that belief and make sure I can provide some factual information so it doesn't become, strenuous. Just say, okay, I believe this, but can you prove it? No, I can't prove it. I just believe it. We got to get out of that state and get to a place where we're knowing so that we don't have to really believe. We know. We already know what it is. You know what I mean? So like we know today is March. We don't have to, even if we don't believe it, it's March. You know what I mean? So that's what I try to do. I try to bring the knowledge into it so that we can know what we're doing and not just merely believe in it.
What is faith play in your life then as far as like, so I get that what you're saying. Yeah. But if that's, I know you're a pastor, right? You preach
Weekly?
Yes, weekly, yes. Either it's online, or sometimes I'll go to different locations where they have smaller gatherings due to, you know, COVID-19 restrictions. And sometimes I record. See, that's the difference when you're in, when you're actually at a church building, it's more of a public place, so it's easier to record. When you're going, like, you know, house to house, you know how a lot of people don't want their living room on camera. So
right.
A lot of times I'll go to their house and we'll have the service there, you know, and it won't be recorded. But, you know, I have to respect the, you know, the wishes of where I'm at the moment. Yep.
Man, that's an interest. How do you, let me ask you this. Do you sleep?
Say again.
Do you sleep?
Oh, do I sleep? Rarely.
Yeah.
Rarely. That happens. That's an event.
You know, my
daughter's been known to write letters saying sleep on my pillow and text me and say, Dad, have you slept yet? You know. So, and I'll say, wait a minute, I didn't even get to sleep today. And I'll lay down and take a nap.
We all that know you and love you and hung out with you, man, we all root for you and your good health. That's for sure. And absolutely. I know, you know, people have asked me that same question. Like, when do you sleep? And my standard, like, jackass answer is every couple of hours at random increments of 15 minutes, like everybody else. Like, you know, so we do what we got to do, but you know, and I know that you got to take care of yourself because it takes a toll. But you're certainly an inspiration. I know that, you know, you and your community and all the people that you work with in Patterson, all the people that I met while I was down there and living in the area was just, I think about you constantly. I know that. I pray for you. I pray for the Lowry family and that area. I know that you are making a difference. And I'm really glad, man. Listen, you know me, I'm not a big fan of any of the parties anymore.
Right.
But I know I'm rooting for you, brother. So
there you go.
Thanks for everything you've done. Before I let you go, make sure that you've told us how to get in touch with you, what you're working on, website plugs, where are we going to give you money at, how can we support Pastor Corey?
All right. Right now, if you'd like to give any kind of donations, you can use, I am using the Cash App right now, and that's $ Corey L. Teague. You know, you can definitely send it there right now. And if you'd like to reach out to me, Corey Lewis Teague, you know, on Facebook, on Instagram, it's Dr. Teague on Instagram. And, you know, let's get it on. Let's get the word out. And if you need to reach out to me, my number is 973-767-5980. Okay. 973-767-5980. You can reach out to me. If I don't pick up right away, I will definitely get the message and return your call. You know, so.
Yes, he will. He returned my call. My call.
Yep.
So I appreciate you. Corey, thanks a lot, man. Solidarity. And I'll talk to you real soon. We can't make it so long next time, though.
Exactly. Right, brother? Oh, absolutely. Right.
Take care, man. Peace out. Yep. All right. So thanks a lot for everybody tuning in. This has been NJRR Live with Brian Powers, Christian Perez dips in, Leah G. Antonio dips in. We do the Idavox report on Tuesday nights with Daryl Lamont Jenkins and crew. Plus, he brings in some pretty awesome guests. You got to check out the interview with Rod Weber and Lauren Pispisa. They made a movie called 2020, The Dumpster Fire. And, like, you know, you got to watch that movie because we all went through it. That dumpster fire. Antifa activists taking it to the right using art. So art and activism. That's exactly what we're trying to do here. They're running with some wonderful, wonderful ideas out there, right in tune with what we're doing here at Rev Rad Nat. That's at RevRadNat, Rev Rad Nat. On Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. You need to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you want to get a little ding in your pocket when we go live with all these great shows. Give us money. I think that's all I got to do, right? Yeah. Give us money. www.njrevolutionradio.com. One more time, www.njrevolutionradio.com. You can donate, you can become a sustaining donor and give us a little money every month, or you can become a member of our editorial board and have influence over the content on this revolutionary media network. We really need your help in a lot of different ways, so come on board. Until next week, Tuesday at 8 p.m., this is Brian Powers, and I remind you that the police can quit their jobs. Good night, everybody.